Hey everyone, this is Steve Mathis. Thanks for listening to the podcast show. Before we begin the show, I just wanted to give a little shout out to my new friends at BTOsports.com. BTOsports.com has teamed up with yours truly to provide you podcast listeners with a cool free deal. What you want to do is go to BTOsports.com and check out all the sweet stuff from Fly Racing, Fuel Graphics, O'Neill, Stella, FMF, Liat, and Vortex. They carry these lines along with pretty much anything else that you need for your bike or body. So you go there. The cool thing is, you order more than $100, and really, what's $100 these days? James Stewart has that much in his Lambo ashtray. Anyways, order more than $100, type in the offer code Mathis, M-A-T-T-H-E-S, in the coupon section, right when you're checking out, and you'll get a special deal. It's so special, they haven't even really told me yet what it is. So to recap, go to BTOsports.com, spend $100, type in Mathis in the coupon section upon checkout, and get some kind of hella super sweet deal. Remember to check out their closeouts at BTOsports.com as a proud sponsor of the BBMX race team. All right, on to this week's show.
Your brain may explode from listening to this show. We will not be held responsible if it does. What are you going to do about it anyway? You won't have a head. You have been warned.
Welcome to the BTOsports.com podcast show. Brought to you by Transworld Motocross. Hosted by Steve Mathis.
Welcome to the BTOsports.com podcast brought to you by Transworld Motocross and PulpMX.com. I'm the host, Steve Mathis, and I have on the line with me none other than the 1997 125 East Coast champion, Tim Ferry. What's up, Red?
Not too much, man. You sound really official.
You like that you like that intro?
Yeah, that was pretty good. And you're starting to date me a little bit with that 97 stuff.
One of the last men to beat Ricky Carmichael in a title, I believe, in a title series, correct?
I think so, yeah, because he almost won everything after that, pretty much, unless he was hurt.
Right, and I think he lost the world title to James, but other than that, I think you and James are the only guys to actually beat RC straight up in a title chase.
Sweet.
I know, I hang my hat on that every day. Now
I don't think about it at all, actually. But now that you remind me,
yeah,
okay, it's still good.
Yeah, that's good. Now we did a big interview on Transworld Motocross. Thank you for that. Where it kind of explains what your situation is. I'll spare the details on the podcast. Anybody wants to find out what Timmy Ferry's doing, go to Transworld Motocross and look for the interview, and he'll fill you in on what his situation is for the 2010 season. So Red Dog, you're not lining up on the gate this weekend, but you'll be watching, right?
I'm gonna be watching live. I won't be there in Florida,
right.
But pretty excited that it's on TV. That's gonna be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Now, as recently as 4 months ago, you were racing against all these guys, and hopefully you'll keep you'll be racing there again. That's my dog in the background, by the way, that just did that noise. I don't know what's wrong with him. I can't seem to stop it, but probably gonna die. What's your take on the Supercross series? Obviously, well, let me ask you this. This is easy. Can anybody beat James and Chad? Any of the guys, any of the rest of the field?
Yes.
Really? Okay. We're getting somewhere. Who can do it?
Yeah. I say yes.
Okay.
But that's pretty vague because you could mean a race, you could mean the series.
No. I mean straight up in a race. I mean straight up in a race. Not the series or nothing. Just are those two going to go 1-2 every weekend? You know, if nothing happens to them.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think Ryan last year proved that he could win. I mean, he had a little bit of luck on his side, but hey, he still did it. And I think his knee's a lot better now since he got that fixed. So
right.
I think he's got a point to prove. I think last year was a learning year for him. Like, everyone gives everyone a learning year, and then they expect the world. So I think he can do good this year.
So Ryan is your pick. Anybody else? Josh Grant's fast. He's fast.
Yeah. Well, not since he broke his nose and he's all banged up.
True.
Yeah, he's going to be a while before he's 100%. I think, I don't know. Maybe Dungy's a big question mark, I think.
What about the fact that everybody always kind of struggles their first year, except for really Reedy and McGrath? Almost everybody their first year out has struggled, including yourself, Tim Ferry, when you didn't qualify at the L.A. Coliseum in 98. But besides that, do you see Dungy struggling, though, like the other guys, or is he going to be a quick learner?
I mean, I think Dungy's going to do pretty well. I think he handled the pressure at Motocross the Nations well.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't have a lot of 450 experience, so I think we're going to see. I would assume to see solid rides out of him. I just don't see that he could be on pace with the guys that have already had at least a year, if not titles and a lot of wins under the belt.
Mm-hmm. So James and Chad is the battle. How do you see that shaping up? I mean, James is on an all new bike, so you know there might be a little bit of problems with that. I don't know for sure. I'm not saying there is. Reedy switched equipment again to your old team, taking your spot, which really sucks balls. But anyways, he took your spot at Monster Kawasaki. Now, you know that team inside and out. What's going to be like for Reed to adapt to the Cowie?
I mean, I think actually, well, for one, to start off with, like, man, it drives me nuts when media and people just talk about James and Chad, you know, like it's the only two guys racing on the track.
Right.
But we have to look at history, I guess. And those two guys are the guys that are expected to be there. So I think Chad will be fine. I don't think he's got so much talent. I don't think it really matters. I think he will overcome, you know, whether his bike's set up perfect or not. And
mm-hmm.
I think the results from Australia don't really mean a whole lot.
Okay, see, I was putting some stock into those results, so clearly I'm a moron, but you would know.
Yeah, no, I think he was, I mean, he just switched to it.
Right.
I read somewhere, I've been reading a lot of stuff lately. And,
not a lot of training, not a lot of training or riding going on, so a lot of reading.
A lot of reading. So now I know what it feels like to be you.
Right.
And
you're gonna end up with my body shape if you don't get back on the air soon.
Oh man, okay. Yeah, hopefully this thing heals quick. Yeah, I don't know. I think he'll be fine. I think
he
didn't ride hardly before that series started, and there's a totally different schedule as far as racing goes down there. There are short races.
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta imagine if we did that here, we would have way more than one, three winners. We'd have a lot more if you race six laps or eight laps, whatever they were.
Right.
So I think he'll do a lot better. I think he's way more prepared now than he was down there, and I think he's just using that as a warm up, I would assume.
Yeah. So no problems come A1. Let me ask you this. Last year, you know, James came out of the gate. Now, you were racing, so you didn't get a chance to really watch it. But he really struggled with his bike setup in the first few races. I guess talk about how important that is, getting your bike set up for you the way you like it. Because out of all the guys I've worked for, you're probably the most anal as far as having your bike the way you want it. Is it just more amazing that James could win, given that bike didn't work for him last year?
You know, after I watched the video, I was really surprised that he really did do as well as he did.
Mm-hmm.
You could see the frustration, you know, on his face pretty much, you know, of how hard he was riding. And I know from experience, if the bike's not set up for me very well, it's hard to ride good. And
mm-hmm.
He figured it out finally. He got it, you know, got it pretty decent. He still says he never felt 100% on it.
Mm-hmm.
To me, though, I think for some reason I feel that Ryan and Chad are basically the same. They can ride, you know, whatever setup, and they're going to go fast. So the big question, I guess, is whether that new bike, it looks really cool, the new Yamaha.
Yeah.
Whether it's going to be as good as, you know, what they say it is. You know, everyone says it's great, but, you know, until we see, you know, a real race with everybody on the track,
yeah,
you know, nobody really knows.
And also, too, great for the magazine guys is a whole other story. Great for James Stewart in a supercross track, on a supercross track, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for sure.
I mean, 100, James like as different as you could get, probably, right? I mean, not even close.
Well, I mean, I don't know, because, I mean, I think if the bike is good stock, you have something to good work, you know, good to work with. But if the bike's just not good right out of the box, you know, even the best riders in the world struggle to, you know, even to make it look good.
What was the worst bike you had out of the box? What was the worst bike, besides the ones that I worked on? Which one did you really struggle with?
I would say the 90s, to me, we're going back, 96 Suzuki was horrible.
Yeah, it's horrible. 125, right?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
They went from a great, you know, a great bike to a bad bike, and it took them almost 2 or 3 years to correct it.
Yeah. Okay. So when you're out there every week on a 96 Suzuki 125, you're just like, you're already kind of beaten, right? When you're lining up on the gate, you're just like, oh, man, my bike sucks.
Dude, I mean, if you're on a 96 RM 125, you should just be, like, in the desert riding or something. You shouldn't be on the starting gate.
All right, great. So what do you see? Do you see James – do you see Chad giving James a run? Do you see James only beating himself like we've seen so far? What do you see happening in your crystal ball?
You know, I don't think we're going to see – anything really drastic out of anybody, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is I think James has calmed down. I think he's going to be smarter. He's going to be stronger after a whole year of, you know, working out and winning a title and taking some time off and getting back on the bike. I think he's going to be I think he's going to be stronger than he ever has been.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
That's my opinion. I know there's been some questions about injuries and all that. As long as, you know, those injuries aren't true, and he's 100%, I think he's going to be strong. But with Chad and Ryan, Chad, I think, again, this year has something to prove, just like he did when he went from Yamaha to Suzuki.
Mm-hmm.
He's got something to prove, and he's always there. I just don't see this being that year that he's not there.
Right. Yeah, he seems to ride down to the competition. You know, when RC was out or James was out, K-Dub could stick it in there. Different people could give him a race here and there. And, you know, he seems to be like, whatever. And we all know he was also probably binge drinking that like a couple years ago. But, but you know, when James is there, now nobody can really touch him. Do you think I'm right? Do you see that?
I think you're right. I think
for whatever reason,
he does whatever he needs to kind of to win.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. I mean, I think it's a pretty good point. I really thought about that too much.
Yeah, he did fall off the wagon, or on the wagon, whichever one means drinking heavily and partying a little bit a couple years ago. So that could have had an effect. He even admitted it in interviews. So
yeah, I think the lack of, you know, really the challenge, I think, was
mm-hmm.
You know, created that. So he always rises to the occasion. Like you guys, basically, like you're saying, he rises to the occasion. I don't know. I think he's going to do good. I think he's going to a new team. I know the bike. The bike's good.
Yeah.
I'm sure he wants to beat his teammate too. So
yeah, that's going to be interesting. That's going to be interesting to me to see those two in the same truck.
Well, you're not going to see them in the truck because they both have motorhomes.
Good point.
They're not really going to be in the truck too much.
Yeah, they'll show up at the last minute, jump on their bike and ride off, and then come back and give their bike in and go to their motorhomes, I guess, huh?
Yeah, they'll just give it to the mechanics and tell them what they want, I guess.
The truck's not going to be the same without you, who didn't have a motorhome, so you would just be kicking it upstairs there in the lounge, just doing whatever.
I had the best motorhome. It was free, and I had it all to myself. I had three TVs.
Yeah, exactly.
One was on, the live feed. One was on my video, and the other one was on...
the timing and scoring.
On DirecTV. Timing and scoring, yeah.
Yeah, no, exactly. Good point. Now, I don't know if you rode Chad Suzuki last year, but, I mean, all you guys all ride each other's bikes. You may not want to admit it or whatever. My theory is that I think, and I could be wrong, I've been wrong before, I think that Suzuki and the Cowie are pretty opposite of bikes, don't you think? I mean, what do you know from those two machines?
I know absolutely nothing.
Oh, God. Okay.
No, I swear. Last year, me and Chad rode together quite a bit, and there was a few times he asked to ride my bike. Now I know why, but...
Yeah.
he asked to ride my bike during the Nationals, and he basically said I could ride his, but... we never really did, so I never rode his bike.
All right, but generally, all of you top factory riders generally jump on each other's bikes at different points, correct?
Yeah, before that, we always had. I think back when we were at Yamaha, we always swapped bikes, and then he rode my Moto Triple X Honda at the time, and I rode his Yamaha, and I couldn't believe how fast it was.
Yeah, and then nobody wants to ride JT's bike.
No, that's like signing a death wish riding his bike with no front. He rode all last year with no front number plate in practice.
Nice.
All year, no front number plate.
Yeah.
His bike he's got a pretty good bike right now. So.
He says he's changed his setup. He said he's changed his setup.
He looks so much better on that Suzuki. So, I think the Suzuki was good for Chad. I don't know. I think the bike was. Whether it's the same as a Cali or not, I don't know any of that. But
right.
Suzuki was a good bike for him last year.
Yeah, it worked out well. Now, everybody's talking about Ryan and Dungy and Josh Grant and this and that. But nobody's talking about Andrew Short. But last year, season opener, he gets second. He ends up third in the series points. Kind of always gets overlooked a little bit, huh? But he's there.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's always there. He kind of is like me a little bit, laying on the podium a lot, but not really a lot of hype. Back to what I said before when we started this thing, it's frustrating when they only talk about one or two guys, but those are all the guys winning. So.
I know, but it does suck for the fact that when you watch a NASCAR race, they don't just talk about the first two, three guys. You know what I mean? But
yeah, it definitely does, and. Because everybody on the track is good.
Oh yeah, incredible. Yeah,
I'm sure you want to be out there racing.
Yeah,
would be that good.
Yeah, exactly. No, absolutely. But Shorty gets overlooked. You know, he's a strong rider. He's in shape. He doesn't have the blinding speed, but he's there.
Yeah, Shorty's a good rider. He's been his Grand National champion according to the old rule book a few years ago, and
yeah.
I think last year he was right up there too. So I just think he's lacking that win. You know, just Josh Grant got that one win last year, and people are still talking about that going into this year. So
as fluky as it was, it doesn't matter. It's a win, right? Like,
yeah, dude, a win's a win. So.
Yeah.
I would love to have a 450 win.
Yeah,
Supercross. It's the only one I've never got.
Right. Speaking from a guy who doesn't have a 450 Supercross win, who gave it away at Pontiac in 2002. But anyways,
I gave that one to Ramsey. He's my friend. So.
Yeah, you did. Now, what about his teammate Millsaps? What is the deal there? What's going on with Davey Millsaps? He's in a contract year, so to me that equals some motivation. He, a couple years ago, talking about challenging Reed, I forgot about to mention, he won a couple races a couple years ago, straight up, too. So what is Davey Millsaps' deal?
I have no idea.
I have no idea.
I have no idea. I haven't talked to him in a while, but everything I hear that he doesn't like his bike. But
right. But it's a Honda. It's a Honda.
Still have to ride hard and perform.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I think he could. JT had me watching 08 Atlanta the other day, and he won it.
Yeah.
And he was awesome.
Yeah.
He was unbelievable. And that year, I remember. I think it might have been Indy. It was one of those races where. I was in second, I got a second, and I thought for sure he was going to get tired at the end, and he never did.
Yeah, yeah. But other times, he does get tired.
Yeah, I think maybe it's just a motivation thing.
That's so funny. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, it's mystifying to me because the kid's got talent.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's another guy that I think if he is in shape and he gets out front, he could definitely be dangerous. He could be really close to a win if not being on the podium a lot. So I think he has a little more motivation, I would assume, this year. And I think he's going to be a lot better than he was last year. I know everybody kind of thinks the opposite, but I think he's going to be better.
No, I think he's going to be better, too, just because he needs a contract, you know?
Well, yeah, especially right now. There's not that many out there, so.
Yeah, no, exactly. Now, I forgot to tell you that I think, and I don't know for sure, but I believe that James is going to have a butt patch on this weekend with crazy balls on the back of it.
What do you mean?
Well, remember how you coined that term crazy balls for James?
Crazy balls? Did I name them?
Yeah, you did.
I nicknamed them that?
Yeah,
I don't think I did.
You did. You're the one who first told me, and then I told the world, and then it's kind of spread from there. But they had a design.
Oh, really?
They had a design James's butt patch for this for contest. Answer did, and the winner told me that he was going to design a crazy balls one. So we'll see.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm pretty good at nicknaming people. And
mm-hmm.
I still forgot I did that one. That one's pretty good, though.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about Sorby. I was thinking.
Oh, Sorballs.
Sorby's his buddy. Yeah.
Sorballs.
And I was thinking, he's going to have Sorballs on his butt? That's kind of weird.
No, yeah. He's not going to have that on his butt. What about the rest of the guys? What about Josh Hill and Justin Brayton? And where do you see those guys fitting in?
Man, I think there's a group of guys that are going to be all so close. I think mm-hmm. similar to last year.
Right.
One guy could get a fourth one weekend and then get a ninth the next weekend or a tenth.
Right.
I think that's going to be that whole group of guys.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Brayton, I mean, he did really good overseas, but he hasn't done that here yet, so.
Yeah. Difference, huh? Yeah. It's different, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Larry Ward won overseas all the time and smoked everybody.
Yeah.
So he'll have to prove that here. I was surprised Brayton, riding with him some last year out west, during practice he was going so fast, I couldn't believe he wouldn't do better at the races. So.
Right.
And maybe maybe the new bike and the new team will help him out.
Do you mean like during the day in the supercrosses or during the week?
No, I meant like out testing and stuff like that.
Oh, okay, yeah, right.
Yeah, because you watch him ride and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he got ninth on the weekend.
Right. Yeah. And Hill, what do you think about Hill?
I think Hill kind of goes with Millsaps. I think he's going to perform better this year.
Yep.
Got some motivation, and but then again, we got to see about his bike. You know.
Oh, you just mean the question mark of the Yamaha just being brand new?
I would just say the question mark just being a first year bike and everything. To me, the bike looks awesome. I think I want one in my garage for sure. But whether or not it works good, I don't know yet.
Right. And what about the ultimate wild card, Jason Lawrence?
Oh, man, you just keep – there's so many guys.
I know, right?
I thought about writing down contenders, but I figured you would just kind of tell me who they were.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
We'll just wing it. Lawrence, I forgot about him. I don't know. I think he's going to get better as the year goes on. That's pretty obvious. I think him being in the main event is kind of would be a great start. I mean, I think he'll make it easy, obviously, but he's been in jail for 4 months. So the only thing I think that's good for him is he's motivated, but he put some weight on. I think that'll help him on the big bike.
Yeah, he did look a little heavier, huh?
Yeah, he looked a little bit bigger, so maybe he'll be a little bit stronger. Maybe he's been doing some secret training, too. So.
Yeah, who knows? He's talented. He's talented, though, huh?
Oh, yeah. He's really talented.
Yeah.
To ride like he was during the Nationals sometimes this year, and knowing that he would just really sounded like, he had a lot of stuff on his mind.
Yeah.
So there was a few times he let me go by this during the Nationals, so I got to thank him for that.
Yeah. Yeah, you're a big J-Law fan. People don't realize. You're a big J-Law fan.
I like him. I think he... For as much crap as everybody gives him, he brings a lot to the table, mm-hmm. as far as just being different,
Yeah.
Motocross people are so, in a way, so corporate because of the Japanese manufacturers. Everything's just so, or has been in the past.
Yeah.
So many guidelines on how you represent yourself and... He just doesn't care, which is awesome, and he does what he wants, does what he pleases, and dude, he's got a ton of fans. I guarantee you, in Anaheim, his truck and James's truck, Chad's truck, and Ryan's truck will probably have the most fans.
Yeah, really.
Anaheim, he'll have a huge fan base, you know, a huge line. And, dude, he's bringing people to the sport. What else can you say?
Yeah, you know what's funny is that you, like an older guy who's probably 180 degrees different in lifestyle from Jason Lawrence, you can appreciate him and respect him and realize that he brings something different to the table. That's pretty cool because, like, just, you know, like I said, like being an older guy, you know, you could be all, he's garbage, he brings nothing to the sport, but you see the other side of it, even though you're totally different, as far as I know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just myself, and I think he's just being himself, so
yeah.
Whether or not we're the same, that doesn't matter to me. It's easy to kind of go, man, he represents this, I don't like that. You know, everyone wants to judge everybody, and, well, you know, don't judge him, just...
Yeah.
Kind of really be happy he's here and let him do his own thing. If he messes up, he's only hurting himself. So
yeah, he's not. Yeah, it's a good point. You're right.
We got enough really, really good, you know, good riders and good people with a certain image in our sport. And
yeah,
you know, why not let him be himself?
Yeah, good point. Now, what about his teammates Langston and Hamblin? What do you see Langston? I like GL. He's a good dude. I don't see him doing anything this year. I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
Man, I don't. Anything's a big. That's a strong statement.
Well, I mean, okay. Well, okay. Main events, maybe. You know what I mean? You know, he's Grant Langston. I mean, he's a badass rider. But being away from the sport for a couple of years, and then, you know, with his eye problems and stuff, I don't know. I mean, I'm just being honest. This is a Supercross preview show.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't put money on him. There's no way, for sure.
I mean, can he top 10, do you think?
I think he can do top 10.
Yeah?
I think,
okay.
One thing about Langston is, you know, when it's time to race, you know, he always shows up, you know.
Right.
It may not be in practice. It may not be in testing or qualifying time. But when it comes race time and he wants to do it,
yeah,
he's one of those guys that can perform. We found that out. Right at the end of the season, what was it, 07? During the Nationals.
Right, when he screwed you out of the title.
Yeah, he screwed me out of the title, sucker. But I think he looks a little bit heavier than he normally is.
Uh-huh.
And so I think it's going to take him a while to get in shape.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
Right. And what about Hamblin?
I don't think, is Hamblin racing?
Yeah, he's racing.
Oh, I thought he was right. I thought he was a test rider. I didn't realize that.
As far as I know, he's racing. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know nothing. I haven't seen. I like Sean. He's cool, but he got hurt the last few times I've seen him ride. So
right. All bets.
I'll go with. I hope he makes the main and doesn't get hurt. How's that?
All bets are off.
Yeah. There's so many guys that have been here year after year and. And we have new guys. We have Dungey. We have GL back.
Right.
Ryan's in a second, you know, full season. So
yeah,
it's kind of like the class is almost changing. You got rid of a lot of the older riders. It seemed like are kind of not there anymore.
Guys like you, just outdone, put to pasture.
Out the pasture.
What about Yogi? What's Yogi's latest? Did you hear he's racing Arena Cross?
Yeah, I heard he was racing Arena Cross. I read that on the internet because he won't return. He won't return phone calls or text messages.
Yeah, he's a little reclusive. That Yogi.
Hopefully, he listens to this. And
no, there's no chance. There's no.
Yeah, probably not.
You've only listened to one. There's no way he's listening.
I've only listened to James Stewart is the only one I've ever listened to.
Yeah, exactly. So
I was on a long car ride and didn't realize I could pull it up on my phone.
Oh yeah.
And it popped up, so I was like excited. I actually got to my house and. I sat in the car for 15 minutes to listen to the end of it.
Really, huh? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, it was a good one, though. Stewie was good.
It was good. Stewie's entertaining. He's cool.
He is, for sure. How'd you get along with him when he was your teammate? Good, huh? You guys were pretty good buddies?
I got along with him really well.
He's got so much going on, huh? As a rider, though, like he's like a rock star. He's got so much going on around him.
Yeah, you know, he's definitely, man, he's got a lot of... Well, for one, he's got a lot of people around, but
yeah,
he's got a lot of demands on him. So
yeah,
we never really got to hang out too much. I could kind of walk and do whatever I want, and
yeah,
he kind of had to kind of shuttle and, you know, have Rotto and everyone kind of keep the fans away from him. So,
I know, huh?
Yeah, he brings a that's cool. He's bringing in Nike and some stuff like that, which I think maybe somebody else had it first, but
Dungy might have been sponsored by him first.
Might have been Dungy first, but
right.
Yeah, no, I saw his place on Cribs. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, yeah, really, huh? Hey, what about switching? Did we leave anybody out on the 450 class? Or what about Tedesco? We didn't even talk about Ivan. That's going to be a tough switch, huh?
You know, I would say it's going to be I would think it's going to be tough.
Yeah. Just the late start and everything, brand new bike.
Yeah, brand new bike. It came so late. I really think you're going to see the best performances out of the more established teams that didn't have the big budget cuts or the riders signing really, really late.
Right, right. Yeah, the guys that have been around.
I think those are the guys that are going to kind of shine. So I would imagine Ivan may struggle a little bit at first, and then he'll find his way. So
yeah.
I mean, it's not for a lack of trying or being in shape or – you know, doing all the right stuff. Obviously, he stays at Carmichael's place up there with Dungy, so he'll be prepared. I just don't know if he'll be ready by Anaheim 1.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's probably a good point. What about Nick Way, Matt Boney, Chris Blose, any of those? Heath Voss?
Chris Blose, he goes pretty good sometimes.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah, he was good. And Boney was awesome last year, too. Came out of nowhere.
Bonnie did really well for, you know, really not a lot of people knowing who he was.
Mm-hmm.
He had quite a few good rides. I like the Hart and Huntington team. I think they kind of fall into that little bit of a Jason Lawrence type
right.
area as far as bringing something completely different to the table, which is changing now with all the energy drinks. I don't know. I think I kind of like. I've known Kerry for a long time and. Kenny Watson's there, so
yeah.
I think their team will be even better this year.
Yeah, yeah. You've known Kerry. You guys have known each other for a long time, huh? Like,
we don't keep in touch.
But it's weird how like you, a guy from Florida, and then Hart, kind of like I don't know. You guys just kind of know each other. I've seen you talk and stuff, and you think you'd never have anything to do with each other. He wore baggy gear racing Supercross. You were a kid on a factory Suzuki, you know.
Yeah. No. The deal is how I know him is when Dave Dye was my mechanic at Nolene before you came there, before Dave quit on me.
Mm-hmm.
And I pulled you out of Germany.
You did. You rescued me.
Rescued you out of the cold thinking you were somebody, and then you showed up and you were somebody else.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for that.
But, yeah, he was traveling around with Dave Dye, and he was driving his own van.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much just living and riding out of this van trying to do Supercrosses. And when it came back east, Dave asked if he could come stay at my house. And so he came and hung out for a few weeks, and we hung out, and then he went on to do, you know, all this freestyle stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't know that. So, yeah, you think you know somebody. That's a story I've never heard. I didn't know he stayed with you.
Yeah, well, our industry is so small.
Yeah.
That everybody crosses everyone's path at some point, so
yeah.
And I guarantee I'll get crucified somewhere over what I say in this interview, I'm sure.
Yeah, maybe. You're being pretty good. You're being pretty.
I'm trying to be as nice as I can, but
right. It's that time. Time for a commercial. Sorry, guys. Got to pay the bills.
Thanks for listening to the BTOSports.com podcast show. Please don't forget that BTO is the world leader in aftermarket motocross parts for the bike or body. You'll find deals like a Shoei VFXW helmet for $309.99, 45% off, or Smith Piston goggles for $32.99, 65% off. Your order can be shipped to anywhere in the USA for free, or if you're not in the USA, we ship worldwide. Check it out at BTOSports.com.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit tougher to be a media person, man, because riders are sensitive, man. They get their feelings hurt quick.
Oh, yeah. Tell me all about it, bud. Yeah.
I give you an earful every once in a while. So.
You do. Everybody thinks that, you know, I write nothing but good things about you. I've criticized you a few times in the past. I've gotten the text messages from Evie, your wife, and yourself asking me what the F is up. Hey, I got to call it like I see it, you know, most of the time anyways.
Yeah, no, I think that's why most of the people are kind of – you're a way better journalist than you are a mechanic.
See, I don't think so. I was pretty good as a mechanic. I mean, you seem to forget about the all the wins, you know?
No, well, you had a good little run there for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Was I the longest you had a mechanic for? 4 years? Did you have anybody else longer with Leroy?
Leroy was 3 years, and then...
Kenny? BK?
BK was only there, I think, a year or two years.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, so maybe I was the longest.
Yeah, and when I was at Cali, I went through...
Yeah.
I think 3 mechanics.
Yeah. Yeah, so there you go, bud. So put that in your pipe and smoke it when you're talking about better journalist than mechanic.
Yeah.
Let's talk about lights.
Well, at least you're famous now.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I'm living out of a box van.
Yes.
Not taking a shower for a few days. It's hard to be popular.
Yes, that's a good point. You're right about that. I do have a house and a room over my head. And actually, though, I couldn't find a job in the industry to save my life. And I had to go to Germany to go do the GPs. And my big break came with getting the job with you a race or two into the 99 season, and then you did really well that year, top privateer, and you were on fire, and that got me sort of a foothold as a solid mechanic. I don't know what would have happened had I not got the job with you, because like I said, I couldn't get a job at Planet Honda, which was a crappy ass team. I couldn't get a job anywhere because I was just another guy, right? Like nobody knew me. I mean, I worked on a couple teams, but so anyways, I don't know. I shudder to think what would have happened if had I not got the job at Nolene working for you.
Yeah, and if I think if you would have had 5 years, if I could have kept you when Larry Brooks fired you.
Yeah, I got really screwed that deal, man. That was a bad deal.
You got fired, and I got your truck. That was awesome.
I know. Chaparral gave me the Troy Lee Designs Mazda truck. I'm on the team. Everything's good. The owner comes to the team and says, hey, guys, I know you want raises. I can't do raises. I can take this guy's Mathis's salary, though, and break it up and give you guys all the money for the raises, or you can just have Mathis on as an extra guy this year. And the guys all voted to axe me and get more money, and that was it. And then Jerry Campbell became your mechanic. And I should have known something was up when Jerry came to me a few days before they canned me and was like, hey, Steve, can I get all that titanium back that I gave you for the bike? Can I get that back? And I'm like, yeah, sure, Jerry. Should have known something was up.
He thought you were going to take it and steal it.
Yeah.
He got fired.
Yeah, exactly. And then I remember Brooks was like, hey, we need your truck back too. And I'm like, oh, man. And then they gave it to you.
Yeah, then they gave it to me to use. And then, yeah. We're making like $300 a week, $350
a
weekend.
Yeah, that was a bad deal. Yeah, Chaparral did not pay very well for sure. But I was happy for the opportunity, you know. But that was pretty funny.
Again, you were competing for a job with Jerry Campbell, and he was a Chicken's mechanic.
Yeah, so. He was. Jerry was a good mechanic. He knew more than me, no doubt about it. You know, he built motors and stuff, so he was smarter than I was. So I could see where that happened. But we would have done another year in 2000 for sure. And then actually, you brought me to Yamaha. And about the second week on the job, Jimmy Perry, the manager, was like, I didn't want to hire you, but Timmy insisted on it. Which that made me feel really good, too. It's kind of in a strange sort of way.
Yeah, Jimmy could have that effect on you sometimes.
I didn't know what to think. Like, the dudes all, I didn't know whether to be like, oh, thank you, Timmy, or hey, Jimmy, you ass. You know what I mean? I didn't know which way to go. Like, I was happy and sad at the same time.
I think you kind of won him over, so it was good.
Yeah, maybe. Back to the Supercross preview here, bud. Let's talk about the lights class. West Coast looks like it's going to be Weimer, Kennard, Wharton.
Wharton?
Wharton? Blake Wharton?
Wharton? Yeah, get their names right.
Yeah, I know. Who else? Davalos, maybe? I don't know. Actually, I don't have the list in front of me.
Josh Hansen.
Haney. What can Haney win a title? Can he hold it together?
Dude, I don't know. I think if there was ever a time, I think all the stars are lining up this weekend.
Really?
Starting this weekend.
Yeah, starting this weekend, huh?
Well, dude, he's on the best team, mm-hmm. per se, as far as winning titles. And I've seen those guys work. They work hard, and their bikes are good, obviously. And, dude, Haney's got a lot of talent.
Yeah.
You know, even when he was kind of screwing off, dude, he was still good.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he could win it, for sure. He's probably on a no base salary, too, heavy incentive contract, kind of like what Goose was on a few years back, which nothing makes you ride a little harder than that, right?
No, definitely not. I mean, you want to make money racing, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I think Haney could do good. I think Weimer's pretty good, too, though. And that,
Kennard?
Weimer had a breakout year last year, so.
Yeah, Kennard?
I think it's time for Kennard to step it up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's going to be good. It's going to be a good battle.
Who else is in there?
I know I'm missing some guys. I had the list in front of me, but now I forgot.
I think there's some star guys.
Yeah, well, the star team has Anstey, Davalos, Izzy. Izzy's east, I think, though.
I think Izzy went east now.
Yeah, yeah. And Tickle. Tickle's pretty good, solid rider, top five.
Yep. No, he rode good sometimes last year, for sure.
Right, right.
God, you're forgetting some people.
Yeah, I don't
gotta
know.
Be.
Yeah.
Wes is usually the most stacked.
No, this year the East is stacked. For the Moto Show, Paul and I just did. We broke it down, and the East has a ton of guys. West has Ryan Morris and Ryan Morris and Blake Baggett, I believe. Will Hahn, Troy Lee Designs Honda. Cole Seeley, Troy Lee Designs Honda. So
we might have to go with the Geico guys or the PC guys.
Way to step out on the limb there, bud.
Yeah, if you want a winner, I'm just telling you you want.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I think there's a few of those privateer teams though that can probably land on a podium. But I could just probably picture either Weimer or Hansen just getting the whole shot and being gone.
Really, over Kennard? Yeah.
Dude, Kennard. Yeah, I mean, I like him. I love what he's about and stuff. But he's got to show it. You know?
Right, right.
He has everything to do it. I mean, the bike's good, and he—I know he works hard. Marky Mark is over there. My old practice bike mechanic works for him now. So,
as his practice bike guy, not his race team guy, right?
Yeah, his practice bike guy. So,
right.
So I get to hear a little bit about him. I think this should be his breakout year. I would assume he's had a lot of injuries. But yeah, I think it's time for him to win some races, maybe a title. Again.
You know what? The more I think about it, and I know Hansen hates my guts, but I bet you Hansen wins this title.
Wow. You just heard it.
Don't you think?
After watching him ride the X Games, like I was just I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's on it. And it's dry, hard pack, slick, West Coast. You want to take a call?
Sure. Who you got?
I don't know. We got to check it out. Hey, who's this? Hello? Clearly the phone's not working. No. Oh, he's gone. Somebody didn't want to wait.
Well, that or they didn't like the way you answered the phone.
Yeah, how should I answer? Brooks was all mad at me too for answering it all weird. On the Moto Show,
dude, Brooksy would probably get mad at you no matter what you said.
that's probably a very good point. But Hansen, man, I think he might win it. I think he could pull it off.
Yeah, I think you'll be eating your words there. And when Don makes you shake hands with Lawrence and apologize to him, I think your season can start from there.
Having J Law on one of these shows would be epic for sure. I would love him to even just to come on and call me names and stuff. That would be just awesome.
He's entertaining, that's for sure.
Yeah. East Coast is really stacked. Porcel Dean Wilson, Canada's great hope. Tyler Rattray. Justin Barsha, who's ridiculous, I think. Ridiculously talented. Metcalf. Stroop. Stroop is fast. We got... who else? Some other guys. Anyways, what do you think about that?
That's enough.
East
That's
Coast, enough. Yeah.
Purcell, I think...
There's no way, right? He loses that title?
I don't see how. He rides so good. I don't know.
Right.
I don't see how he could. But then he did... I just heard he broke his collarbone, so...
Yeah, he did.
I don't know how many weeks that gives, and... I heard it was the same one, and I know he got his plate out, I heard. So if he got his plate out, then he broke it. That just seems kind of like maybe there's something more there. So maybe we won't even see him. So
yeah. Yeah, don't you break your collarbone? Well, I guess you break your collarbone, you get it plated, and then you break it again, but you break it right outside the plate, right? Normally that's what happens.
But I had heard that he went and had it taken out. That's why he didn't do Motocross of Nations or any of that stuff.
Oh, I thought he got a plate taken out of his hand for Motocross of Nations. Maybe it was collarbone.
Maybe. I'm not sure. I heard collarbone, but
yeah.
You don't really hear much about him. I heard he's in Florida now, though.
He is in Florida. Yeah, he's a little bit of a weirdo. Let's face it. He's out there.
He's definitely a little strange. I'm not going to lie. The old Superman doll.
Yeah.
But he's good, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, he's really good. I think the only guy that could beat him possibly is Barsha. Barsha's going to be ridiculous on his scrubbing in Supercross.
Yeah, I don't know, though. It's East Coast. It's ready. I don't know how much scrubbing he's going to be doing.
Really? Yeah. Kind of hurts you a little bit, huh?
I don't think the scrubs get what wins anyways.
No, but I'm just saying. Barsha's just.
But he does scrub good, and he is fast. I've never seen him ride a Supercross track, so.
Right. What about Stroop?
Kind of a wild.
What about Stroop?
Yeah, Stroop could be good, man. Stroop was always really good at Cali when I was there. I was always pretty impressed with him.
At the test track, you mean, during the week?
Yeah, during the week.
Yeah.
So, I think he's going to have to be good because, I mean, let's face it, he left one of the most sought-after rides.
Did he leave or did they not want him back, though? I don't think they wanted him back.
Well, either way,
yeah.
He didn't have it.
So, right.
So, yeah, he wants to prove a point. Okay, well, then now he wants to prove Cali and Mitch wrong. So, Shoot could be good.
Can he win? Can he beat Purcell? He did a couple times last year, but Purcell usually had problems.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Purcell, if he's healthy, I don't think anybody's going to beat him.
Right. Who do you look for? Who's your pick? I know you don't know the lights guys that well, but do you have a pick on either coast for kind of breakout rider? Somebody that's up and coming. Do you see a guy that you're like impressed with that could really take that step up? And I don't mean win, but just start doing really well.
Man, I don't know. I'm not so sure about the lights guys. I don't get a chance to really watch them. Some of the guys I never even heard of.
Yes, as we know.
Well, I think Barsha, would probably be the guy just because nobody knows on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's really seen him ride, so they're waiting. He's going to be spectacular no matter what.
Yeah.
Because he's either going to really scrub hard, win, or crash really hard. So.
Yeah.
He definitely goes full bore. I think Hanson's a breakout guy on the West Coast.
Yeah.
I remember a few years ago. Him saying or hearing him say that, or ask basically to ride it, for Mitch, and he'd do it for free.
Yeah.
I think it was right after he left KTM or got fired or whatever.
Right.
So this is a big deal for him. So I don't know. I think Hanson will be on the main guy. I think that nobody's really seen in a while. So
mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think about the Rock managing Geico Honda? He doesn't seem to be the manager type, but there he is.
Now, I just read the interview with him, or I read about their team, and he had a bunch of quotes in there. So,
oh, yeah.
I think, I was pretty impressed just reading what he had to say. He's talked about a couple of boot camps that he'd done and trying to get his guys more consistent. And I think that's kind of what they need. Yeah, we all know they all can go fast at certain points, but
right.
He he's the guy. If you were looking for consistency, he's the one. So, and he's got a little more personality than most people think.
Yeah.
And I think now he's a little bit older. He's been away. He's taken a break, so I think he's fresh. And I think it could be good for that team.
Do you think he strikes me as the type of guy, though, to be like, oh, you're struggling? Oh, well, you need to just go run more sand hills. Because that's what I did. You know what I mean? It doesn't always work for everybody. I don't know. I'm just assuming here, but.
Yeah, I think he's probably, I would assume he's more technical. He did a lot of testing for Honda when he was there.
Right.
But I think he's a little more picky, and I don't know, I think he could bring a lot to the table. He's a rider that probably right now could still ride nearly as fast as some of the riders he's got.
Yeah.
And he's not that far removed from being a racer, so he's still got a good handle on, you know, what bike setups need to be like, and
yeah.
He's got a good feel for it. So I think they made a good move. I don't really know what happened there. I kind of seen it coming a little bit when I saw him in Atlanta last year and I talked to him.
Oh yeah.
I was like, man, that's kind of weird. I haven't seen Mike in a long time, but
yeah.
No, it's cool. It's good to see him back. I think he.
How about you tell the story of the U.S. Open and the boot throwing?
Oh, yeah, me and Mike are buddies. We're fine.
Yeah, you're fine now. The wives are fine. Everybody's fine. But at one time.
At one time, we definitely had our run-ins. No matter what it was, and I think maybe it had something to do with we had the same start from the back, move forward, riding style, and we always ran into each other on the track, and there for a long time, he always got the short end of the stick. Like, he always was the one that went down, and I didn't really mean it to be that way. I was just being aggressive. But yeah, he won the first night at U.S. Open, I believe, the first night. Second night, I lined up on the inside of him. We tangled bars going to the first turn, and I wasn't going to back off. He wasn't going to back off, and next thing you know, we were both on the ground sliding.
Right.
So he was a little bit upset about it because I had borrowed his boots. for the race, that were two sizes too big because I didn't realize I was still under contract.
What happened to your boots?
I had to borrow boots from them.
Okay, you showed up without boots, or you showed up with the wrong kind of boots?
I showed up with the boots I was going to wear the next year.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I had somebody take them back over there. For one, I knew he was mad, so you don't want to mess with a rod.
No.
We haven't ever seen him fight yet, but you don't want to be the first one.
Right.
And then he brought him back and told him that he needs to clean him or something. So I cleaned him and I took him back. So we've been good ever since. He's fine.
You're missing a key part of that story, I believe.
What's the key part?
Was there not a boot thrown into the truck?
No, there was never a boot. He came and handed them over the banners and said, have Timmy wash them.
Oh, okay. All right. Was that it? Okay.
Yeah, he said, have Timmy wash them. So I was like, oh. Okay, well, I got to man up, and I got to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I washed him, and I walked him right into his truck, and I told him I was sorry. I didn't mean to take him out, and it was cool. It was fine.
It was all good from there.
Yeah, it was fine. I mean, it's racing. I would be, like, ticked if I was about to win the 100 grand, too, and some kid never backed off going on the first turn either.
Well, that actually happened to you. Chad Reed cleaned you out of the U.S. Open 3 years ago now. He was a hole shot in a main event shy of 250 grand, and he held it pinned in the first turn.
Right. Maybe that's why I was so mad. Who knows?
Yeah.
U.S. Open, I don't really like that race team.
No.
Personally. I always crash out one night and do good the other night and walk out of there with about half the money I was expecting.
Yeah. We never did it, you and I don't think. Did we? No, I don't think so.
I think
you skipped it every year. So,
plus, yeah, that was a brutal crash 3 years ago. That was not fun.
No, you were into the stands. Yeah, that was infamous glove throwing, which was awesome.
Yeah, that was good. Me and Chad, we always run into it, don't we?
Yeah. No.
Oh, well.
Yeah, exactly. And I wrote a little bit about it. What did you think of that Pulp MX story I wrote about the Buds Creek race? You and Reedy, I think I captured it pretty fairly, huh?
Yeah, you were pretty close, except for I never told him I was number one.
I didn't say that. A guy wrote on the bottom that he saw you saying that. I didn't write that.
Oh, that's what it was.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that, he had just read that from a caption I think Davey had put in there from that race. I'd never even seen Chad after the race.
Right, right.
So I never went and told him I was number one. That's gay. I would never do that.
Yeah, he was saying that, yeah, you were flashing the number one.
Yeah, I was letting him know that I was number one, and I'm like, whatever. No, it was pretty accurate. That was a good story. That's some of the stuff people don't really, you know, see, you know, because the riders really don't say a whole lot.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's exactly it. You don't really hear that side of the story, but I just wanted to make sure that I did get it right, you know?
Yeah, no, it was pretty close. I think there was a few things that, I mean, it was 2003, so that was a long time ago. So
yeah,
you remember all of it? That was good. It was a good story.
Yeah, yeah, I might have mistaken. Oh, actually, DV told me, I wrote something about DV having the black eye. Remember when he got punched out by somebody? And DV said that actually that was after Bud's Creek. That he got punched out and had the black eye. It wasn't, and I think I wrote the story that it was before Bud's Creek, but.
Yeah. And Chad claimed he KO'd DV.
Yeah.
And
for some reason,
I heard that it was Nick Way's buddy.
No, it was Keith Johnson's mechanic. Maybe it was Nick Way's friend, but yeah. Why would Chad tell people that he punched out DV though? Like, I don't understand. Is that cool? I don't think that's cool.
he wanted to be a badass.
I know, huh? But like, why would you brag about punching out your teammate?
I don't know. That was pretty, probably just to piss DV off. I remember him, Chad roosting DV one time when it was really muddy, just to get out under his skin. Remember that?
No, but there was another time in the test track that I wasn't there that the track was overwatered and DV threw his helmet.
Yeah.
I wasn't there.
Well, no. The day before, Chad turned the sprinklers on while DV was riding. And and then the next day it was really muddy, and then Chad was roosting him on purpose, and you couldn't help but just laugh. It was hysterical.
Right, and DV came in, threw his bike in his truck, loaded up in like 0.5 seconds apparently.
Oh yeah, dude, it was awesome.
Right.
I was just glad not to be a part of that one. So
right,
I think Jimmy Perry couldn't decide exactly what to do, whether to be mad or just laugh, because he was just laughing.
the tensions were high on the team for a few months there in 03. You know, you and Chad were going at it. DV and Chad were going at it. DV was punched out with a black eye. There were some big tensions there.
Maybe Chad just figured everyone was drinking and hammered. Nobody would ever know. So
yeah. I know. I still need to ask him why he thought that he should do that, because that seems to me to be just asking to get in trouble by your team, by the cops, by the teammate. Like, there's just nothing good can come out of bragging that you punch somebody out. Nothing good can come out of that. I could be wrong.
I doubt that the cops would get involved.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm just saying. That's all. I'm not. Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's going to happen. But
you know, it's funny. They hung out, so it wasn't like, I think they were fine. Like the next day, it wasn't like they were mad or anything.
Really?
It wasn't. Yeah, I don't think that. Yeah, they didn't like each other at first, and then ended up being fine because DV ended up being like, "Oh, whatever, dude."
not much.
DV's actually pretty cool.
Yeah. You know exactly. Do you? All the riders that you had as teammates, is there a couple that stand out for you?
What do you mean, in what way?
just as being like funny guys or a mate, just guys that made you shake your head, guys that made you laugh, guys that just you were like, oh my god, I can't believe this guy, you know, in any sort of way.
DV was funny. I just thought it was awesome how people thought DV was a certain way.
Right.
And, dude, he was the complete opposite.
Yeah.
Like, he had so much more personality and was so funny.
Yeah.
And they just thought he was just French and stuck up.
Yeah. Well, I think when he first got here, his dad really ruled him, you know what I mean? And he was maybe under his dad's expectations a little bit. But, you know, once he became settled in America, he became pure comedy, really.
Yeah, no, he's a pretty funny dude. He'd say some stuff and he would just laugh.
Yeah, he'd get really mad when everybody rode around the whoops at the test track, all the Honda, Yamaha Troy guys.
He was real finicky. He would just fly off the handle sometimes, and then be fine, like in 5 minutes, be totally fine. So.
Right. Do you remember when he got all mad when we were talking about sleeper picks, and he came up downstairs, he was sleeping, and we were arguing about who was going to do well, and he came down in his underwear and was yelling at us? You remember that?
Yeah, he was trying to. I think we were being too loud. And he was trying to take a nap or something.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Just things like that that are just comedy. What do you see? What does Supercross need to do to be a little more entertaining? Or what would you like to see changed in Supercross? The promotions, the tracks, the riders. What would you change if you were like God of Supercross for a day?
Man, if I was God of Supercross, I would try to find a way to make more winners.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do it. I mean, I've been around a long time, and I kind of like the way Chad had kind of set up the Australian thing.
Uh-huh. With different formats, you mean?
Yeah, different formats, shorter races. You know, Chad got a bad start, got beat by somebody. It was a big deal. I thought that was pretty cool.
Here's what I told Reedy on the podcast that you won't listen to last week. I brought up the exact same scenario, and I told him, I said, hey, what about if you got points for heat race wins, or for top five in the heat race, you got points, but if you won your heat race, you got 20th gate pick. So the 19th and 20th gate picks were the two heat race winners, but you wouldn't sandbag in the heat because you want points, right? So you would race to the points. But then you would have to come through the pack and see where you can finish. And I love that idea. Chad shot it down and said, well, why should we be punished? Guys who are fast, like James and I, why should we be punished for, you know, working harder than everybody and having more talent and all that? Why are you going to punish us? And, I mean, he's got a point. He said it's dangerous, too. He's like, some of those guys in the back, you know, the number one gate pick guy, he's like, I'm a lot faster than him. That's actually dangerous. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, I kind of see Chad's point for sure. For one, I think it's a bad idea.
thanks. That's what
because
he...
I think the only thing I can think of is you're living in the past and the LA Coliseum, seeing guys and like what was the announcer? He was announcing and the guys were like, it was Wardy was like slowing down, acting like something was wrong with the
car. Yeah. Rodeal Cup, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think about, and that was horrible.
Yeah, but you get points for heat race wins, so you're not sandbagging the heat. Because you get points for it. You need the points.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would equal points out, but it's a bad deal for Chad because, let's face it, James is going to go from 20th to the top three faster than anybody. You know, but with the same possibility of landing on somebody or just going crazy.
Right.
That would be the only, you know, downfall to it. It is. It would be dangerous. See, Chad's a little bit more cautious when it comes to that, so that would go against his style.
Okay. All right. So you don't like the idea at all?
No, I don't like that idea. I think we should start over.
Okay. Well, then, okay. All right, buddy. Then you said find more winners. How do you do that? How do you do that?
Man, I don't know. That's a tough call. I don't know. I'm not Supercross. I don't own it.
Do you?
If I owned it, I'd be trying to figure out a way to do it. But I think the riders, I mean, that we have now, they're all pretty dedicated. I think they do everything they can, and they, you know, when they show up at the track, it is what it is. You don't really have a lot of guys just loafing around anymore.
Yeah. What about?
So, I mean, the competition is what the competition is. Everybody prepares the best way they can, almost.
I think the parity has gotten worse since 450s, though. Like, I mean, with 252 strokes, there's a little bit more unpredictability. I don't know if it's just the skill of the riders. I think 450s have made the racing more predictable and, you know, more of a freight train of guys doing the exact same things. Do you agree?
I definitely agree a little bit.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't know. There's got to be an answer to this, and maybe that could be like some kind of weird thing you do on your website. But have people
weird.
Write in and give ideas of why it's different.
Right.
But dude, I mean, how many times did MC almost win every race? So
yeah, I guess.
So I think too, it comes down to talent. I mean, let's face it: MC, James Stewart, Chad Reed, are some of the most talented guys we've ever had in our sport. You know, along with Carmichael, well, he's not here now, but
right.
Just kind of hard to hard to compete when you end up having one guy just really stands out. I heard James on James's podcast. He said he picked. He thinks God picked it. Is that how he said it?
He what?
That God picked certain people to be really talented.
Yeah, I think he did. Yeah, I think he did say that.
There's some kind of thing there. I don't know if I believe that one, but
right.
There is certain people. I mean, you have it in every sport. Look at Michael Jordan and basketball in his era. You know, it does happen. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a call. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
This is the BTO Sports Podcast you've called into. Who's this? Hello?
Hello.
Clearly not working out the way we thought it would.
Wow.
Anyways, yeah, so, okay. What about governing the bikes? What about making the bikes slower?
Well, I mean, I don't know if you can make them slower or not would make a difference, but maybe just kind of regulating things more could help. I know they do that in car racing.
That's where I'm coming from. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's just one of those things though where you have the guys that are really, really good, and they're gonna fight that until the end.
Yeah.
I mean, last year there were times when. For me, everybody, the tracks were easy and everybody was going fast, and I would get so frustrated because nobody would get tired.
Yeah.
And everybody would just be going the same speed and would be riding in a freight train. So being a guy who usually doesn't get tired at the end, could always get somebody if I needed to.
Right.
That's pretty frustrating. And that's what has happened the last few years, I think.
All right, let's try this again. Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is John Nunley. I just got a tweet that said that I could talk to Tim Ferry.
Yeah, you can. You're on the air with Tim Ferry. What's going on, John?
Not much. Just kind of been enjoying all the media you've been putting out. You're a machine lately.
Did you hear that, Red Dog?
Yep, I heard it.
I'm a machine. what's your question for Red Dog?
Oh, you know, it was more not even a question, more just kind of a thank you for always putting everything out there, and you know, for us vet guys, he's a huge role model. I don't know if he remembers me. I kind of came up to him, had him sign his Racer X magazine cover last year in Phoenix, and had a picture of when he was at Moto Triple X that he signed. And did he remember that?
God, man, drawing a blank for sure. I'm not gonna lie.
Timmy's a fan of all the vet racers are all big Tim Ferry fans, all of them.
Yeah, I was gonna say, if I had a dollar for every vet racer or guy that come up to me saying that I inspired him to ride these last 2 years, that was over 35 or so, then I'd be rich. But yeah, it's cool. Thanks, no problem. I appreciate it.
I'm
having a good time, and I'm encouraging the older riders to stay on the track.
Good deal. How's the foot feeling?
It's not doing too good right now, but making some progress to getting better and hopefully get back on the track soon.
Well, I think Mathis thinks it's because you're at the BMX track too much.
Well, he is putting a lot of weight on the rocking boot, chasing around Evan on the BMX track. So just for the record, that could be a theory.
Yes, I have been at the BMX track quite a bit. But yeah, no, the foot's doing maybe a little bit better, so I hope to get back riding here soon. It's been tough not riding. I'm used to riding every day, so to be off for months is tough.
All right, John. Well, thanks, man. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I appreciate you taking the call. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right.
Okay, man. Thanks.
There you go. Vet rider.
All right.
Big fan. Vet riders.
Dude, I got so many vet riders.
I know, huh? What's the weirdest thing you've ever had to sign for somebody? You signed any boobs ever?
No.
Never? Not even back in the day? Okay.
No, you know what? I actually had a lot of people, a lot of girls to ask, but, I mean, it's kind of kind of hard when there's little kids all standing around, so.
So you refuse the boob signs.
It's an awkward feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
a banana peel.
You signed a banana peel?
A banana peel. I signed some girl wanted my underwear one time.
Yes, yes, I do remember that. That was quite comedy.
And, so there's been a lot of weird stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
kind of like kids' foreheads, stuff like that.
Yeah, little kids' foreheads, right? That's always a classic.
Or some kid's really, really expensive jacket that his mom probably just killed him when he got home.
You won't sign casts, though, will you?
You know what? I started signing them.
Did you? Ah, I thought that was your superstition. Yeah.
It was. Last year or two, I just gave it up. I couldn't fight it any longer.
Wow. Did you ever, when you told people you didn't sign casts, did you ever get people looking at you like either mad or confused?
Yeah. Sometimes they'd get mad, and sometimes they'd look at me like, are you serious? Like,
yeah.
What's the big deal? It was a little bit of a phobia there for a while.
Right. Another superstition you have is you dropping your brand new helmet on the ground.
Yeah, I still do that every time.
Yeah, dropping a brand new helmet on the ground, just a superstition.
I think it's awesome, too, because the helmet painters, they, like, cringe when you do it, so you want to drop it from even higher.
Yeah.
So if they're there, you just do it on purpose, just to,
right.
to get them.
you going to make it out to any Supercrosses this year?
Yeah, I hope so. I think
Atlanta?
For sure, once. For sure, probably Atlanta, Jacksonville, and Daytona. But once I want to come out, I like Phoenix. I wish I was coming to Phoenix, but I got no plans right now. I'm not walking around in a boot. So once I can get my tennis shoe back on and I can get out to a race, I want to come check it out.
Yeah, right on. Well, cool,
hopefully,
man.
Hopefully, all my predictions will come true.
Yeah, we'll see about that. I mean, I'm picking Hanny to win the West, so I'm going with that right now.
Yeah, I'm going with you there, and I think
Porcel.
I think it's going to be a three-man show most of the time, with the possibility I think of maybe Dungy or Millsaps squeaking a win, or you know something spectacular out.
So you're saying RV is going to be in there? RV's in the mix.
I think definitely. I think RV's will be he'll be right in there. I think he's healthy, and he's angry.
He is angry. He's very angry.
He's angry, so I think he wants to win. I mean, God, I get this picture all the times, like when I would see him lose, and he takes it pretty serious.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, hey, kid, calm down there. You got 20 more years in the sport.
Yeah, I mean, he has three outdoor titles. What is he, one or two Supercross
just
titles?
One, so. Just one Supercross title, yeah.
Just one Supercross, so I think he'll be... I think he's going to be up there. I think he's going to bang bars too. So I think it should be, it should add a little more flair than just having two guys racing.
Yeah, he's not scared
for the win.
Yeah, he's not scared to knock it in there. I don't think he's intimidated at all by James or Chad at all.
Yeah, I don't think he. I just think he's. Yeah, I think he wants to win, and he's not intimidated. I don't think he would hesitate about hitting one, taking one of them out, or whatever.
Yeah, that's probably a good point.
Obviously, after he hit James at the U.S. Open, I think that he just wanted to let James know that he was there, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm here, but I'm not quite ready yet.
Yeah, but I will be in a few months. You're going to see me in a few months.
That brings me back to...
What?
2 weeks on a bike after 4 months. So, J-Law's been in jail for 4 months. 2 weeks on a bike, so...
Same kind of deal, you're thinking.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
Pretty talented guy, so.
J-Law.
Maybe J-Law's a sleeper.
I'd like to get J-Law and you on the air at the same time.
Dude, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Have you ever talked to him?
Yeah, I talked to him.
Oh, yeah? Oh, okay. All right. I didn't know. Does he know who you are?
I don't know.
You might just think you're a fan.
Yeah, right.
All right, bud. Thanks for doing this Supercross preview show on BTOsports.com, Transworld Motocross. Feels weird saying Transworld. I almost said the other name right there.
That would have been pretty funny. You should just do it for old time's sake right now.
Yeah. It does feel a little weird. But, thanks for coming on the show, man. Thanks for taking the calls. The call that we had.
The one caller.
I missed a couple calls, I got to say, because we were just talking. I didn't want to end the story, And then the people became frustrated and hung up. So, oh, well. All right, Red. Thanks, man. And I don't know when I'm going to see you next. I don't know when I'm going to see you next, but I just can't wait till I do.
Yep, might be Atlanta. We'll see what happens, but I'll be sure and text you or text me the results if I don't run out of the race.
You know, you can always text me. I'll let you know what's up.
All right, cool.
Okay.
Bye, man.
Thanks, Red.
Take care.
See ya.
This has been the BTOsports.com podcast show, brought to you by Trans World Motocross. Don't forget to check out some of our past shows, including motocross legends such as
the Beast from the East, Damon Bradshaw.
It got to the point where I didn't want to leave home, and once I got to the race, I wasn't into it. If I wasn't going to give 100%, I'm not going to take their money.
The working class hero, Doug Henry.
It was definitely an emotional moment for me, just thinking to myself, that's it, you know, and it's amazing the stuff that goes through your head in a short amount of time of the things that, you know, that I was going to miss.
The Dogger, Ron Machine.
Until you really open your ears and you want to listen to what they're saying, it's like beating a dead horse. I mean, you know, and I know from personal experience, didn't anybody ever sit me down? Of course, everybody did.
Pro Circuits, Mitch Payton.
There's two ways to make the money. One is you can sign for money, or two, you can earn the money. I'm a high believer in earning the money. I think they ride better when they earn the money.
Seven-time Jeremy McGrath.
I was so mad, like so disappointed and so frustrated that I pulled pits and I left. Every point counts. I could kick myself to this day for not just riding around in tents. It's been no problem. My ego got in the way, you know?
The O Show, Johnny O'Mara.
Stuff that you'd sit there if you didn't even want to ride it, you just wanted to just look at it all day. I mean, I got a chance to test all that. I like that era I was in. I really do.
Search Mathis on the iTunes Store to find these and many more great podcasts. I won't let this die. You know I've got this friend up in the atmosphere. Another reason not